So Clint Bradley is our Spotlight UK artist this weekend here on UKCountryRadio.com, and Clint's on the line now. Hello there, Clint.
How you doing?
We're good, thank you. Welcome back to UKCountryRadio.com. It's a while since we've featured you, and you know, keep seeing your name popping up here, there and everywhere. So things going well for you?
Yeah, things are going extremely well. We had a really good year last year on the road. Made a lot of new friends, gained a lot of more fans, you know, across the UK and Scandinavia and in the US. So that's been great. And working towards this year, you know, we've just put up our live dates onto the website. And we start our series in April in Derby, and then on right through the year until the autumn.
Yeah.
In between that, we're going to be recording the new album.
Yeah, lots going on there. Just for those who don't know you, Clint, how would you describe your music?
It's pure Western music.
Which is fantastic to hear, because, you know, we often get people who go, I'm pure country, I don't do any of this Western stuff. No, I'm country. Country and Western, yes. Different things, but you're very proud to be pure Western, aren't you?
I am indeed.
Yeah.
It's a very much misunderstood and maligned genre.
Yeah.
Western music is, although it falls rightfully so under the country banner, it is its own entity, and anyone who has had a lifelong love affair with it, like me, will know that it really is a separate entity.
Yeah.
I mean, I think in the beginning it was known as cowboy folk music, but because that's what it is, you know, the raw beginnings of Western music were combinations of English, Irish, Scottish, European folk music, mixed up with experience of the New World. So it really is a separate,
You say you've had a lifelong love affair with Western, which is a great way of putting it. How did that love affair start, Clint?
It's pure and simple, like a lot of us. My father and my uncle especially, who was a very avid country music fan, but he was the one that introduced me to the Gunfighter Ballads, which sort of just changed my life. I often try to remember how old I was. I think I was probably 7 or 8. And on went that album that we all know and love so much. And, you know, within, I don't know, 10 seconds of Big Eye, and that was it for me. I was hooked. And from there, it just grew, to an obsession, not say an obsession, but it just a love, you know, a love affair.
Do you think it's unfairly labelled here in the UK? Because, you know, people, you know, like I said before, people say, I'm country, I'm not Western, you know. No, I'm not Western, I'm country. But they should be proud to be, you know, we should be proud of Western music, shouldn't we?
We should indeed. And I think the problem with Western music is that people, I think it obviously suffers from a very strong image. But, you know, it's not to be confused. The image sometimes, the image and the kind of the placard that puts out, sometimes it kind of leaves the music in the shade a little bit. I mean, the real kind of the great Western songwriters of the 20th century, you know, people like Bob Nolan, who formed the Sons of the Pioneers. I mean, if you go back to the root and listen to the stuff that they did in the 30s, you can really hear someone at work creating something that never. It's like bluegrass, you know. Bluegrass is an invention. People forget it's a contemporary invention. I'm not saying contemporary, you know. It's built around microphones. So the bluegrass that we all know and love came about in the 40s when people sliding up and out of microphones. You know, that one microphone in the middle of the stage, one walks up, the fiddle player walks back. It's the same with Western music. I mean, all these people had similar ideas, but I think, you know, you had the folk songs of cowboy folk songs, which had kind of had maintained themselves by being passed person to person, you know, since the 1800s. And then, you know, it culminated in I think, with people like Bob Nolan, you know, and obviously Gene Autry and Tom Mix and all these people. But I think Bob Nolan is an incredibly important part of the story, because if you listen to the work of the Sons of the Pioneers, like those formative years, listen to the lyrics, listen to the chord sequences, the melodies, they're unlike anything else that preceded them. They're so unique. Mm. And then if you look into Bob Nolan, look into his influences, they're not what you expect. You know, Byron, you know, people like that influenced him. He was a great lover of landscape. So it's no accident that the music actually mimics the landscape,
the
swells and the lows and the highs.
It's really interesting, isn't it, when you start analysing music, it's often a lot more complicated than it seems on the surface, isn't it? You know, lots of intricacies in there.
Oh, no doubt about it, no doubt about it. And I think with Western music, it's become, you know, there's a lot, the Western swing scene has grown immensely, which is great. But I think Western music sometimes gets a bit lost under that umbrella.
Mm.
As it does under the country umbrella, where, you know, Western music is very much an organic it's an organic music without, I don't want to sound arty-farty about it, but it is.
Mm.
You know, it has to work around completely acoustically. If you can stand there, or, you know, it's a singer and a song. So, you know, in a band situation, you know, for instance, we are 100% acoustic. We're acoustic bass, acoustic guitars, very light percussion. We can do everything standing in a room that we can on stage.
Yeah, it's a good test, isn't it? It's a good test of the music, isn't it, and the quality.
It is,
yeah.
And all we do is use contemporary tools to amplify it so people, you know, at a show can hear it.
Basically.
That's a very important part of identifying Western music.
Identifying
there are no
what it
electric
is.
Instruments.
I'm with you. Now, you're about to work and release later in the year, hopefully, a new album. Tell us a little bit about the work that's going on with that.
I've been writing for the last 18 months or so, since the release of the first album. We had so much encouragement after our release, Riding After Midnight. It really kind of put the fire under me to get going on the next project. And it's at the stage now where I'm just rehearsing the songs with my band.
I mean, it's interesting what you just said there. You're writing Western music. Is it possible to write Western music in 2018? I thought it all came from the 1930s.
Well, this is the thing, and it's a really good one. You see, this next album, it's all my own material. There are no covers on there. I think unless you take the music forward, it will cease. You can't rely forever on the back catalogue.
Mm.
What my take on it is, I obviously love and revere the Western songbook, and you know, our live show reflects that. We, you know, through the live set, we play favourites of all of us, you know, from Marty, Sons of the Pioneers, Gene Autry. But I think it's important for an artist within a genre to keep that genre fed with fresh material.
Yeah,
which is what I'm doing. And
but you've got to strike a balance, though, haven't you? The material's got to be fresh, like you say. Yet it's still got to be Western, hasn't it? So it's still got to have It's still got to be authentic.
You've got to have the identity, and you know, it's the same situation, I think, to a lesser extent, because the genre is not as big. You know, the situation you have in country music at present, where a lot of new country bands, if you, like you said to me earlier, if you ask them what do you do, they'll say, well, it's a combination of so and so and so and so and so and so, which it's fair enough, but you have to have some identity with the original vein.
Mm.
If you lose all of that, there's no point in putting the label on it at all. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, and it has to be said that certain things that come out with the country label attached to them.
Yeah, who's decided this is country and why is the question? You know, I often ask that when I hear a new song coming out of Nashville. Who's decided this is country and why? But I suppose the formats evolve, don't they? Is the answer?
They do. And that's why, with what I'm doing, it is 100%, it's pure Western music. And the fact that I'm here and I don't live in Montana or Wyoming, in some ways makes, Western music is always about yearning. It's always about loss, love, natural things, the landscape, life, thinking about where you're going next. And in some ways, being although I go there, being here, it kind of makes the yearning sometimes. It's advantageous to writing, especially because you're thinking about somewhere you went a year ago. Yeah.
Are you able to write it? I mean, is it possible to write Western music kind of from a UK perspective? Because even by its very, very nature, it's kind of linked. And you mentioned the importance of landscapes and reflecting them in the music. It's kind of linked to a certain area of the world, isn't it?
It is, and I'm very glad you brought that up, because on the new album, I attempted, because it'll be for people to decide whether or not I've succeeded in writing Western. There's several songs which are written. I've written specifically from a UK perspective.
Yeah.
In the Western, in a Western style, that there are subjects that people that live here will relate to straight away, especially in rural areas. I mean, I live in a very rural area myself, and your environment reflects what you see around you, things that are going on around you, which aren't always, pleasant. But I've attempted to do that on this album, and hopefully people will get what I've tried to do.
That's going to be pretty unique, that, isn't it, what you've done there then? It's going to be, you are pretty unique anyway, aren't you, in being a Western artist based in the UK?
Well, it is. It's strange. And I get some of the emails I get through my website, they're wonderful. They really are. But I get emails from guys, I get emails because the nature of the music, is a lot of the time, the specialist Western music stations are small stations. They're regional. They don't really play outside of their county. And I get quite often emails from people that have heard a track on the show. I'll give you a classic example. I had an email recently from a guy, and he told me his life story. He said, I heard a song of yours. It was actually a song called A Fine Horse, which is on the last album, which I wrote. And I wrote that about Montana. Well, it was a combination of that and reading the Larry McMurtry books about, you probably remember, that was turned into the series Lonesome Dove in the 90s. Anyway, he took the trouble to, he heard the track, he's driving down the road, the DJ, finished, went into another song, and he took the trouble to drive to the station to ask for the playlist. He's like, I don't know the song that you played it, who that was, and blah-de-blah. Anyway, the guy doesn't even have a computer. He said, I'm writing this, I'm writing you this email, as you call them, he said, on my son's computer. And he said, I got him to order your album.
Yeah.
Off of the yourself now, and he said, I've been playing it in my truck.
Oh, wow.
Time.
Yeah.
And to me, for someone to identify what I'm, I'm this far away.
That must make you feel great as a songwriter.
It does. It's worth all.
Yeah.
It's worth everything because, for someone to be affected like that, I mean, they are the very people that this music's about.
Yeah, that's why we do it, isn't it? That's why we do music, because somewhere that music's going to touch somebody, and if it makes them react like that, that's amazing for you, isn't it? Amazing
it is.
Feeling, yeah.
It is. It's and I, you know, it's like in the UK, you know, we play a show some, so many times, you know, we're playing at, say, a country festival. We do quite a few, what you'd call, I suppose, British country festivals last year. And obviously what we're doing is a bit out of the ordinary, in that we're playing a lot of original material, plus we're all acoustic. But I get people coming up to me at the end of the night with tears in their eyes. I'm not joking, you know. And they'll just say, I never thought I'd hear that. I never thought I'd come to a show here and actually hear someone playing that.
Fantastic. Fantastic reaction, and great when you get it that reaction.
It is. And it just keeps, you know.
Just keeps happening, yeah.
it makes you, you it must, just keeps you going. Obviously, yeah. You know, it counteracts all the negativity. Which you're bound to get within.
You do with anything, though, don't you? Get negative.
You do.
Just rise and, above, you know, it and carry on, and you get the positives. Just before we go, Clint, we've got to say, when is the next new album going to be coming out?
The plan is for, I'm hoping, autumn.
Yeah.
So as soon as I have a release date, I will indeed let you know.
Yeah.
And get a copy to you.
That would be great.
I'm pretty confident it's going to be autumn.